After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
They come as if from outer space in a variety of weird guises. Defender, Pac-Man, asteroids. To fans, they represent a challenge. But to critics, they are a menace.
Long hours at the screens, psychologists say, can lead to extreme introversion. Youngsters communicating in a video fantasy land and not with their peers or parents.
Well, it's the moving lights, partly. Some of these games are really hard to do. It just takes a lot of skill, hand-eye coordination, and it doesn't cost as much as some other things, and it's legal.
Yeah, it's addictive. It is. Because you sit there and you just want to play it more and more.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all genders, the people of the universe, come together with me now and listen to After School Special Podcast. I am one of your three hosts to take you on this journey today. My name is Aaron Smee, and we have Staff Man, Puppy Dog Staff.
Yep.
And we have Double D Don, Double D these T's on the ones and twos. Today, we are talking about arcades, is what we said we were talking about. I think our focus, more or less, is arcade games, our favorites, the history of and how it came to be. Arcades were not always around. They were once called amusement halls, bars, brothels. These amusement halls or arcades had been around since the 1800s. Mostly peep shows, and not the peep show that you're thinking about where you could see ankles, wrists, and neck veins on ladies. We're talking peep show as like a thing that spins and you see like a ball bounce up and down. And then sometimes you would, you know, get naughty ones where it was a dude in a top hat and a long suit jacket and his what looks like a dick would flip up. So then we go into that, and then we go into some of the first arcade games, or like I said, amusement halls. Well, okay, before that, I'm going to do the definition of arcade. A covered passageway with arches along one or both sides, and also a long arch building or a gallery. A gallery you may think of as like a mall, you know, amusement hall, as I just said. The way that it was explained, and I actually like your explanation, John, where it equates the arcade game, which is, it was the screen and the box around it, almost like an arch.
Yeah, like the archway of the screen.
Yeah, I like that. The way that they explained it was just more or less the type of building it was and how arcades became gallery, you know, like a mall. They used to call malls galleries.
Yeah.
One of the first arcade games, actually, I wanted to say it was Baffle Ball, but it's not Baffle Ball. It was Ski Ball was one of the first ones. There were other ones as well, like little mechanical games. Now, if you've ever been to Michigan, you guys know of Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum, which it's all like penny games and mechanical games from back in the day. But yeah, one of the first arcade games, which is one of my favorites, Skee-Ball. Skee-Ball, more or less, you have a game where you take a ball, a wooden ball, I think, or a sphere. You throw it down an alleyway. It's similar to bowling. And you have points on it where it's like 100 points here, 200 points, 300 points, you know, boop, boop. You get your tickets and you go give them to the big fat rat. So then from there you have Baffle Ball, which is the start of pinball. Baffle Ball is pinball, but Baffle Ball didn't have the paddles at the bottom.
The flippers.
Oh, yeah.
The flippers.
Like on
the
flips.
The flips. Yeah. The flippity flips.
The creator of Baffle Ball was David Gottlieb. It was one of the first coin-operated machines, largely considered to be the first commercially successful pinball game, though the game itself hardly resembles what we would think of pinball machines today. Now, a lot of the documentaries and a lot of things that I was reading didn't mention this for some reason, but then I was able to do a little research and bring it up. But I knew there was something before Space War in 1962. One of the first video games that was created, it was in 1958 by William A. Higginbotham. He introduced a game called Tennis for Two, which...
That name sounds made up, by the way, but well, yeah.
Tennis for Two?
No, the William Benhambottom? What the fuck is his name?
William A. Higginbottom?
Well, it's
1958, so he's probably like a spy for Russia or something like that.
Is that a Russian name?
No, well, I don't know. More
well, if you're a spy and they don't really like know English names.
Yeah, I'm going to be fucking John Smith if, you know,
Henry Hinglebottom.
You don't know.
Or Aaron Smith.
Yeah, that does sound made up. Yeah, and that does, beer. Is that real?
It is. And we haven't reached 500 subscribers yet. And yeah.
We're getting close. We're at 99.
Yep. And then if you look,
yeah,
my beard doesn't grow.
I was thinking if you would have saved this for Movember, you probably would have got more of a hit then, because that's when everybody's growing it out. Movember.
Oh yeah, dude. This shit's getting long, and like my girlfriend won't look at me, mainly because I just keep food in my beard.
Oh, I hate that.
No, I love it, man. You get a little piece of Nacho Bel Grande in your beard. You save that for later. And then I got like a little bit of Starburst up here in the mustache area that kind of got stuck in there when I was eating it when I was super fucking stoned last night. Yeah. And then I have a little bit of orange juice, probably like dried up on my chin, but I'll save that for later for dessert. Anyways, that's the life of a man with a beard.
Henry Hindlebottom.
Hindlebottom.
I was close.
He introduced the game at Brookhaven National Laboratory Annual Visitors Day. Hundreds of people lined up to play. Ultimately, Higginbotham invented the game to show that scientific endeavors have relevance to society. He seemed relatively satisfied, maybe even a little amused, as the game got as much attention as it did. It was more or less just ball bouncing back and forth on a screen.
Hubba hubba.
That was it.
Oh, yeah. I know that game. Yeah. That was on Atari.
No. It was not Atari. But no, you're talking Pong.
Pong.
Yeah.
It's the earliest version. Yeah, it's the earliest version of Pong.
Right.
The next game that came out was Space War. A group of MIT students had created it in 1961 and came out with improvements for 1962.
That was the best they could do. MIT.
I was going to say, what'd you say?
MIT, that was the best they could do.
I said, you know, it's we here, what our invention, let me see, what did I invent the other day? I invented fish nachos.
Oh, way better.
They're not good.
I mean, you can land a man on the moon. I know that was, what, 1970 something? 69?
You were way off. That's 60 something.
Oh, I was saying they can land a man on the moon, but they can't make a good video game.
Allegedly.
Here you go. No, if you want to start that, I mean, we can go with, all right. The Hubble telescope, I'm thinking those aren't real. I'm telling
John's
you.
Already being like, stop with this fucking nonsense.
All right. Wormhole. Sorry.
All right. So, like I said, Space War. And then after that, 1971 Galaxy Game. That was, real quick, I just want to make sure, because one of these, and I can never remember, because you know what? They all sound the fucking same. You have Space War, Galaxy Game, and Computer Space. They're the first three games that came out. They all sound the fucking same.
That's what I'm saying, MIT. I mean, couldn't even think of a better name.
Tennis for Two?
Jesus Christ.
Come on.
What a bunch of fucking assholes.
So they put all that effort into creating the first arcade games, and then they couldn't even come up with a good name for it. Ugh,
let's really think hard about this.
Fucking nerds. Mm.
I think that's at least their problem, Don.
You just call them fucking nerds?
No, I call them nerds. Fucking nerds. They can't even think of a good name. Space Invaders.
Someone's listening to this right now, and they're MIT. 100% sure we have listeners that go to MIT.
Yeah.
listening to it and being like, you know
what? Fuck this guy. Yeah. I'm going to take his Netflix account and any money. Oh, no. He only.
Now, if all your streaming shit starts acting up, remember, you said fuck those guys. Remember that.
What, they're going to affect our numbers? What numbers? We have nothing to lose.
No, we're talking about you personally.
Yeah, no, they're going after you.
They're going after you.
I need my access to Pornhub. I mean...
Or hamster, I mean, tube or whatever.
Oh, X-Hamster. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, see, the Pornhub. Never mind. I don't know who's listening.
Well, I just, hamster tubes, you told me about it. It's a bunch of hamsters fucking. Anyways.
Yeah. The same hamsters that were in that Kia commercial years ago.
And
no,
guys,
now
no.
They're all
no.
They couldn't.
No.
They couldn't.
Oh no, man, come on, guys.
They couldn't find
that's
work,
they
John.
On,
they couldn't find
they
work.
Task.
That is.
Why
that
are we
is
talking
pretty,
about hamsters?
That's pretty borderline. Like. Okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but like I said, those were the same hamsters that were in Richard Gere's ass, so it just
allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly
he sticks to dismount.
So with Space War came Galaxy Game. With Galaxy Game, you know, these were similar, like point and shoot. This one, they said hit the market. It was installed at Stanford in 1971 and was an instant hit, with students sometimes having to wait more than an hour. It was an expanded version of Space War, where two players could maneuver ships around a central star. So the first kind of games were centered around like one center point, and then you were able to like push out lines. It was kind of explained in this documentary a little bit. But then we get into Computer Space. Computer Space Wow, what a game, huh? This game was invented by, let's see here, it was invented by Nolan Bushnell, who is more or less considered the godfather of video games.
They mentioned him in Ready Player One.
Yeah, so Bushnell was the creator of Atari, I believe. Yeah, Nolan Bushnell and Ted Dabney. So that's why they're considered the godfathers of video games. But they invented computer space. It was the first type of arcade game. They made 1,000 units, and they couldn't even sell 1,000. It was a complete disaster. No money was made, so they went back to the drawing board. And in 1972, some type of cool type of song. I'm thinking maybe Kiss, Detroit Rock City. Bam, 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 bam. Pong blew up and was just insanity. Video games became the main fucking thing in the world. I can't talk.
You get enraged when you can't pronounce it.
Yeah, because
words.
I'm like, I know the word I'm thinking of, and it's like mainstay? No, namestay. And it's like, I have CTE from all the years of banging my head on a fucking wall. Why can't I remember simple goddamn words? Anyways.
It's a mystery.
Computer space.
Hey, babies, you liking the show? Well, thanks. Leave a 5-star rating and a comment, please. Do you want to see the guys' faces? Well, they got YouTube videos. It comes out every Wednesday before the episode comes out on Friday. You can watch this podcast on any major platform you listen to. Rate 5 stars and comment. Thanks, babies.
But Pong came out in 1972. Pong was selling so many cabinets when it first came out, Atari's 6 employees couldn't keep up with the orders. Well, yeah, fucking duh.
MIT.
And this was before Atari and like all the Nintendos. So we're going into it, and we have another game that came out. You know, we had a couple other games, simple games similar to Pong that had come out at the same time. At this time, any type of video game system that was out, the arcade was always better than the system game. And that's kind of where it was until, you know, we start moving on. Space Invaders, 1978. Pac-Man comes along. Waka, 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 waka. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that. Eating ghost pussy and eating ghosts and eating fruit. So this is my whole argument with violence in video games. Real quick, violence in video games. Everyone's like, oh, you know, Grand Theft Auto, blah, blah, blah. They have been making this argument since even back in the 70s with some of the video games that were coming out, if they were semi-violent, ships shooting other ships and whatnot. So when Pac-Man came out, did fruit sales go up? Back then,
the answer is
no. Yes, the only fruit we had were apples, and we didn't have bananas or pineapples yet. That was back in... It was a joke that didn't land. Don't worry about it. So Pac-Man came around. So, of course, video games, everyone was like, oh, well, it's mainly just for, you know, young men in their 20s, teenagers, even kids, going to the arcade, playing games. Well, Pac-Man, they said, brought the whole family involved. Even women wanted to start playing it. Girls wanted to start playing it in this documentary. And then I watched another documentary and was like, yeah, we were playing in the arcades. You know, some women were there, but they were just kind of there hanging out with their boyfriends. And I'm like, wow, it's, you know, Pac-Man just made all genders want to play video games. And then Miss Pac-Man, give me a break.
John,
you should have said nothing. Just let him drown. Let him drown in that joke. Just let him drown.
Let me just fucking do it.
He has to learn.
So those were the kind of the early games. The one thing I wanted to talk about or touch on real quick. Okay, so everyone talks about the golden era of arcade games and all the documentaries, all the articles that I read, all the history of it mentions the golden age. Do you know how long the golden age lasted?
Probably of arcades, I would say from like the late 80s to the early 90s.
3 years. Some debate, 1980 to 1983.
What?
What we saw mm-mm. was a departure. Yes, 100%. 100%. You can read any article. You can watch any documentary. You can shake your head all you fucking want to.
You can shake your head all you fucking want.
But the golden era, because basically what had happened, cabinet video games had gotten so popular at one time, they were making so many of them in arcades. Then they started popping up in Safeways and 7-Elevens, and then they started popping up in dentist's office, doctor's offices, you know, like, well, there wasn't one in my doctor's office. All they ever had in my fucking doctor's office were the wooden little balls on that piece of steel that was like shaped into like a almost like a roller coaster esque thing.
So I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, you would push it up and then move it around. And that's all I would do the entire time until I had to go in there and I knew I was getting a shot. And I would just cry my fucking eyes out because I hate needles.
You play with balls at the doctor's office. That's
there it is. That, the, yes. That's this what is I got. Low hanging fruit moment.
Yeah, that's
there
his
you
low
go.
Hanging fruit.
Low hanging fruit moment.
Don,
there it
how
is.
Dare you? How
just,
dare you?
Just couldn't let it stay there. Had to go for it.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. So, yeah, I'll say 1980 to 1983. So basically what had happened was is that they saturated the market way too much. And a lot of these arcades started closing. A lot of these cabinets couldn't be produced anymore because they had nowhere to sell it. And what we saw was a evolution of the arcade, because I think we said, you and I, all of us, we went to a mall sometimes to go to an arcade. But where did we go most often than any other place, or at least in my head, where I went, was the Major Magics and the Chuck E. Cheese's.
I went to, there was this place called the Butterfly that did indoor go-karts and arcades. Locals called it the Butterfly, but I forget what the actual name of it was. But I think
it
was
like a brothel.
It was. I think it was like Butterfly. I think it was in Sterling Heights or something like that. Oh. But
it wasn't CJ Barrymore's, was it?
You know, no, that's not it.
CJ Barrymore's had an arcade. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had an arcade. It was and I'll get into the evolution because I'm only going to touch on the history a little bit more, and then we can start going into your guys' stuff, and then I can start making fun of you and trying to think of jokes that don't land because I can't get the fucking words out of my mouth. Anyway, so as I was saying, the golden age and then the oversaturation of video games. What we saw as kids was an amalgamation of arcades in the 80s. And going into the 90s with the restaurant craze, and because it wasn't just that, they had mechanical games. A lot of these arcades in the 80s just had the cabinets. Some of them didn't have pinball. Some of them did have pinball. A lot of bars had arcades as well. But in general, it was just an oversaturation with the simpler games. And then as we progressed, the games did get better. You have, I think it was 1990 was Street Fighter, or 1991 was Street Fighter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1992 was Mortal Kombat. And the games got better, but then you saw console games getting better than arcade games. The graphics were getting better as arcade games were kind of staying the same. But, you know, as we progress...
The first Street Fighter arcade game was 1987.
But Street Fighter 2 changed it. Oh, yeah. No one really remembers Street Fighter, like the first one.
No, barely. And it's, the second one just upped the ante so much, just like Mortal Kombat would later on, too.
Yep. So as we progress, we got other games like the Simpsons game. That's one of my favorites, Street Fighter 2. So we're progressing, but consoles are getting better. The graphics are getting better. Arcades, for the most part, are dying unless it's like specialty ones. You got to have like food or bumper cars or rides, or you got to have a dude in a marching uniform or a big fat fucking rat with a stogie sitting up. And you go back and listen to our episodes on Rock of Fire Explosion, which is one of our top rated episodes. Give it a listen. Give it a like. Don't forget to like and subscribe to Absolute Special Podcast. Back to the show. So as we progress in life and age, we saw less and less arcades. Now, guess what? It's hip again. It's fun again. Except this time, booze is involved, which booze was kind of involved in the first place beforehand. I went to a barcade in downtown Detroit, John. This place is insane.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. Mind you, I was already three sheets to the wind, and my girlfriend's cousin was kind of taking us around. She knew more about Detroit than I did, and I lived down there for a little bit. I went to school there, and she's here for maybe like 4 or 5 months, and she knows more about this place than I do. I mean, I knew about the barcade place, but all the games that they have there, the food was so fucking good. And we just hung out there the entire time. It was a ton of fun. But these barcades, we have like, I think we have 3 in downtown Detroit alone.
No shit.
And then 1 pinball place. But the thing is that they have food, they have booze. I think earlier in the day you might be able to bring your kids, but arcades are really not for children.
Even
we were kind of getting older, getting into our teens, like Dave and Buster's was the closest thing.
Yeah, Dave and Buster's. I was going to bring that up because Dave and Buster's seemed to be more kid friendly, but you can still have alcohol and stuff there. The arcade speakeasies aren't new because I went to one in Washington State and that was unique to me. Like I had never seen anything like that. Like it was a bar specifically for playing arcades. So they had all the cabinets set up and pinball, which by the way, pinball is definitely on the rise because it's such a popular gameplay. You had the Addams Family Values, pinball game, Mars Attack.
Yes, yeah. Mars Attack. I would say with pinball, though, it's still a niche thing. I was going to say that because there was the pinball place here that has only been open for a little bit, but the one time we went in there, it was empty. There are people that absolutely love pinball. A lot of people don't. The Major Magics, and if you're not from the Midwest, you're probably not going to know what Major Magics is, but it's similar to a Chuck E. Cheese's. They had tried to reopen one back in 2020 before the pandemic. All this guy had, though, was pinball machines. He had the whole mechanical thing and whatnot, and it was like a one-room area with crappy pizza. And it didn't get very good reviews, but the pinball games, I guess, sucked. And this guy tried. He tried.
Yeah.
I'll give him props, but it just didn't go the route that I think he was thinking of. I love pinball.
Yeah, pinball is a lot of fun. Up the
Don't roll your eyes, Don. Is Don't it? Roll
your
eyes. God.
It is fun. It is fun. It's a game of challenge. So it's either you like it or you don't, you know, like, so if you don't want to be challenged, then don't fucking play it.
I hit a nerve. I mean, you're just standing there, you're looking at I don't know.
Young kids don't want to be fucking challenged. You got no.
Well, I mean, you're more in tune with the game because when you're playing, there are little attractions on the inside that you're trying to hit with the pinball. You know, you're trying to hit the hand in Addams Family, or you're trying to go up the little roller coaster thing to where the T-Rex might be standing for the Jurassic Park one. I mean, most of the time when you are playing, you're playing to get tickets because you're using those tickets to get prizes.
See,
so
those are different because at Chuck E. Cheese, or you mentioned CJ Barrymore, or I don't know if they did tickets.
GameWorks, when that was open, that was a whole U.S. thing. No one remembers GameWorks.
I do.
Yeah.
I fucking love
GameWorks. I remember the name. I don't think I actually been in there, and that's why they probably closed.
When we would go to Vegas, that's where one of the places we would go was GameWorks. Top of the line arcade games, insanity always ensued. They had a rock climb wall, everything. So
my whole point, I gotta win something. Carrot on the stick.
I agree with you on that. Just playing for the sake of playing,
that's what I'm saying.
That's a niche thing.
I gotta
but if you're playing to get tickets, then there's a value in it because you're trying to win something. I understand.
I was going
to
say, what's the value? You win like 50,000 tickets and the person that's tending the toy area just queefs in your face?
That's right.
That's what you win?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be playing for that personally, but you know.
But it's a goal.
Like a little piece of plastic. You get like 2,000 tickets and they give you like, I don't know, half of a paper airplane.
It's the value, that the effort that you put into it. But then some places change the ticket color. So you would save those tickets. And then the next time you go around, they change the ticket color. So those tickets have lost value at that point.
Instead of getting the beach ball here, I'm going to give you a make your own paper airplane kit. And all that we have for that is this piece of paper. Here you go.
Is that how they all talk?
Oh, yeah. Anyone that I think is like scamming or kind of like snidely whiplashy, because I don't want to do that. I got to do the Jersey accent because everyone from Jersey is trying to get one up on us.
Oh, shit.
Well, there goes our audience.
We have been pretty damn on it when it comes to alienating these different audience members.
I'm proud of us.
I didn't say anything bad. I said that they're always trying to get one up. That means they're smart. They have a plan. And they want to take advantage of little old ladies. Anyways.
Yeah.
But the last thing I'll say about pinball, unless I'm going against somebody, like a date or somebody, like a friend, then it might be worthwhile. You can put money on it. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if I'm drinking and heavily intoxicated, or if I'm high, then maybe it's interesting. But otherwise, dry-ass pinball is so boring.
Yeah, I mean, I can get that. If it's not your thing, then I get that. I just like pinball. Like, I like the romance of going to the arcade and playing. I do. I like.
Are you gonna
the,
fuck that pinball machine?
Yeah, he is. No, yes, like that, he is.
No.
Anyway, not like that. I'm just talking about the fact that you go to the arcade and you have these games that jumpstart your childhood. Yep. Ski ball is another one. Like, I love ski ball.
See, I like that more.
Yeah, I can play ski ball all day. Definitely enjoy. And you have to hit it a certain kind of way.
Oh,
you
can't
just go in there and play it willy nilly. Like, you have to be in a certain position to get the balls to hit the 20 or the 50 so you can get those tickets.
You got
to
hit it the right way.
Hot shot basketball. Going in there playing that. where you are. I'm not even paying down those. We go in there and you have to.
You're doing so well dodging my little lobs.
So you have to, the Hot Shots basketball, where you have to go in there and you have to shoot against the counter and you have to play like that. So I always like that.
Overrated, underrated, that fucking basketball game. I honestly think that game is probably the most consistently best game in arcade.
It is. And it's fun because you play against other people. So you're trying to see who can outshoot the other. I guess you could say that the amusement park or like county fair attractions would be the country cousin of the arcade. Yeah, because you have all those same experiences playing games out in the amusement area. So you get that experience there.
Yeah. See, I like the basketball game at the arcade. You go to the fair or whatnot, and you have the dude that continually berates you as you're missing shots. And he's like, you call yourself a man. Whereas, I'm going to take that lady out tonight. You don't know how to shoot a basketball. And then you're just like, okay, motherfucker, here's another $10.
Yeah.
Try again. And then you miss every single one. And he takes your lady and probably bangs her in the back of his Buick. And that was the history of arcade games.
All right. So.
Wow.
Hey, guys. If you like to see us in the flesh, we have video highlights of our episodes we release on every Wednesday before the new episode that comes out Friday. As always, you can catch this podcast on any major platform you listen to podcasts. Please make sure to rate us 5 stars and comment on how you're liking the show.
After School Special Podcast.
It's this lady and she's like, hi, welcome to my vagina.
After School Special Podcast.
What robot pet starts out speaking a unique language, but eventually speaks English? Gloopy? The fuck is a Gloopy?
Podcast comes out every Friday.
I'm going to go into the Simpsons video game. It was an arcade beat-em-up developed and published by Konami and released in 1991. It was the first video game based on the Simpsons franchise to be released in North America. And what I liked about this game was the whole family got involved. You could get Bart, Lisa, Marge, or you could get Homer.
Who did you play with, John?
I always play with Homer. I love playing with Homer.
What about you, Aaron?
That came out wrong, but I enjoyed it. Homer was my favorite.
No, it was Bart. It was always Bart. Yeah, he had the skateboard and everything.
Yeah,
That move where he spun. And I don't know if Homer did that.
Homer had the, what was it? Did Homer use his belly, like to bounce people?
I think you're right. He did. Yes. And Lisa had the saxophone.
Marge had
the vacuum.
You had Lisa and Bart together. They had a tag team move where they could run and trip people.
Damn.
So you would have them both running together and they would trip people. And I've said before and I say it again, my claim to fame is I beat that game in 5 hours. That took me a little bit of time. The only reason why I say 5 hours is because getting coins and eating in between playing. So I really love that game.
Multitasked.
Okay. Yeah. So I played that game in Washington at that arcade that I went to.
At an arcade, did you ever have the person that set quarters up to play?
Yeah.
So at Major Magic's, kids would do that. Like they would put it up there and I was like, I'm not done.
Like pool. Pool.
But I was like, I have like a whole bag of quarters here. I'm going to play until I beat this.
Yeah.
And keep putting them in. And then they would say something or they would bring their mom over. And then I remember one time some kid put it up there and he was already kind of being like a little dick. I wasn't, you know, in my 30s or anything and kicked him in his knees. We were kids, but he had set it up there. He's being a little shit. And I took his quarter and I just used it. And
when I did that too, dude. Yeah.
We came over there with his mom to be like, he's not getting off. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, I put my quarter and he didn't say a thing. He looked around. I'm like, there was no quarter up here.
I'll tell you what. So the plot of the Simpsons game was easy. So the Simpsons are all out. Mr. Smithers, which was weird because I never saw this in the TV show. Mr. Smithers has just stolen a large diamond from Mr. Burns. And somehow Maggie gets a hold of this diamond and starts sucking the diamond like it's her binky. And she gets kidnapped by Smithers. And the Simpsons have to chase across the city to fight all these hordes of characters that were hired by Mr. Burns. So you had the wrestler that you had to fight, the bear, the two twins that were wearing the fucked up suits.
Yep.
So you had to fight them. Then you had all these other characters that you had to fight along the way. Then you had the balloon competition. You remember that? The hot air balloon? Where you had to pump up the hot air balloon real fast?
Yeah, they got, I think they, did they get that from, or I don't know who was the first to do it. I think it was like Street Fighter. It's the little side quest game.
Yeah, the side quest. So you had to pump up yours.
Or it's a challenge. Fast. It's not a side quest.
It's a, it's a challenge.
Or, yeah, challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Well, like Street Fighter, you beat the shit out of a fucking car.
Yeah.
And then.
And we did a meme on that. Oh, this was like a nice place to park.
Mortal Kombat had to test your might. And then you had to like chop the wood or the fucking stones and shit.
Right, right. So yeah, so that game really was fun.
The Simpsons writers, did they have anything to do with it? Because I could just imagine them all being like, oh, well, let's do some acid real quick. It's like,
well,
oh,
all the artists for the game are Japanese.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense.
All the artists for the game is Japanese. And what's cool is you can play that game now on the PlayStation Network or Xbox Live Arcade as of 2012. So they have it available for play. Now I got to get into this other one because this one was my jam. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was the same game created by Konami, had a huge cabinet, and boy, did I love playing that game because you had the four turtles and it was a side scroller. So you only saw them from the side and you got power-ups in the form of pizza. So they would have pizza and you would eat the pizza and it'd be like, all right. So you would eat the pizza and you keep going. And you had all these Technicolor foot ninjas that you had to fight. Yes. And not only were you fighting them, you were fighting the mousers, the little robots that had the apprehension ropes that could tie you down. So you had to fight them. Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yes. Was that the level where it's in like the burning apartment?
The burning building.
Oh,
man.
That's my favorite one. The burning apartment.
So the bosses in the game included Rocksteady and Bebop individually at first, and then later the two of them together. Baxter Stockman, Granitor, and General Trag. You know what? I never beat this game. I never beat it.
I saw someone get close to beating it because you have to get on the Technodrome, right?
Yeah. You have to fight Krang and then you fight Shredder.
Yeah.
Dude, it's such a fun game. For those who are looking at the visual, they just released pretty much an arcade version of that game for all platforms. It's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge.
You got to get the soundtrack.
Yes, the soundtrack is amazing.
Ghostface Killah is on the game. I think I posted that.
What?
The game. Yeah. The soundtrack is fucking amazing. And the gameplay is fantastic. It will take you back to being a child. And then what's cool about it is you can do up to six players in the house, or you can do a network. I think you can play with people cross network and have them on your team.
I still have them. That's Nintendo Switch, right?
Nintendo, Xbox, PS5.
Not so if you have a Game Pass for Xbox, you get it for free.
Yeah, yeah. So I have it on my Xbox One, and I have it on my Nintendo Switch. It's such a fun game. And back to the arcade, you would play until you just got beat to shit where you would start blinking in and out, and then you have to start all over again. And it was a fun game, man. It really was. Like, I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This game really just sealed it for me. And it's available. The arcade boxes are available. I know, Don, you said you would touch on that. You can buy the cabinets. They have tabletop cabinets. I've seen them on Etsy where people built these tabletop cabinets where you can play it in your kitchen on the countertop. Or, like, Don's going to touch on being able to get it at Costco.
Yeah, that started off, like, in 2018. And that's exactly when I noticed it. Where you can buy these cabinets. And I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast is well aware now that these cabinets come in a box and they're usually brought to you by 1UP arcade makers. And you get it home and you practically build the cabinet yourself, except the electronics, like Aaron was alluding to earlier, they're already pre-made for you. So you're just building the cabinet, almost like furniture in your house.
Like IKEA.
Exactly.
As where if you get like an original box and you try to rebuild it, solder it, it's more like a Lamborghini. What did I just equate? I equated a Lamborghini and a piece of furniture. Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't make sense. Let's see here. Wendy's Burger. No, not Wendy's. Come here on, man. Go. Let's get it. White Castle Burger.
I would say Subway.
In-N-Out with In-N-Out animal style. That's how we'll equate it, right? Food.
I would say Subway because you kind of make it yourself, even though you watch somebody else make it.
Don't bring up White Castle. I get so mad because it's not here. I want it so bad.
It's so bad, but it's so good. It's both. Dude. It's both.
What was your thing with Subway? Because you make it yourself.
So, but you don't because you watch somebody else's hands. So you're like using somebody else's hands.
Yeah,
like on a
rubby little teenager making my fucking cold cut combo.
Yeah, but it's not different than like. Being on an assembly line and what, you know, use those mechanical arms to make the car, kind of. I've never been on an assembly line, but I imagine
it's very similar. Like Terminators or something that are building it? There's robots walking around? And
yeah, a bunch cars. Of T-1000s, and you control them until they turn on their masters and destroy you and then come after all of us.
That was another good game, Terminator.
Oh, yes! Yeah. With the guns? Oh, my God. Okay, top five. I got Killer Instinct. I got Mortal Kombat 3 Ultimate. I know a lot of people like 2 the best. Killer Instinct, Mortal Kombat 3 Ultimate Edition, Street Fighter 2. I got Die Hard. And that used to be so much fun. And then Terminator 2. Oh, my God. It's so good. Honorable mention, House of the Dead. Oh,
I will say top five.
What's going on with your voice, John?
I got a bubble in my throat. So I would say top five is Simpsons, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, X-Men.
I put that in there. My bad.
X-Men was so good because you can only use the power so often.
Yes,
and then you had to wait to let it build back up. And I always play with, drum roll, Nightcrawler. I always play with Nightcrawler.
He was dope.
Because I like that bamf. I like being able to disappear and go somewhere else.
Aaron, you're Wolverine, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Wolverine Cyclops. Was badass, dude. Yes, and I like the
Storm and Jubilee. Not Jubilee, but the
Sparkle. Jubilee was there, but Sparkle. Colossus.
I thought
it wasn't Jubilee. Yeah, it was Sparkle, or Dazzler.
Or Dazzler.
Dazzler.
That's what it was.
Yes.
The poor man's Jubilee.
Yeah, she looked like a punk rocker or some shit. Like,
yeah.
Something
so like that. It was literally Jubilee, except she had like reddish brown hair.
Yeah.
Well, Jubilee's white.
I thought she was Japanese.
No, she's Asian.
In the Okay. Hold on.
You didn't know that?
In the comics, she's Asian?
She's always been Asian.
And
Dazzler and Jubilee are two separate characters.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah, but they have similar.
Dazzler has always been white, and she has these sparkles in her hair or whatever that brighten up and stuff like that. While Jubilee can shoot these sparkles from her hand. She's always been Asian, even in the X-Men animated series.
Yeah.
She's Chinese. Goddamn.
Yeah, Chinese. Yeah. Okay, I thought she was Japanese.
Chinese.
I'm going to cut that out. But as far as Sparkle, where was she shooting her sparkles from?
It wasn't Sparkler. It was Dazzler.
Dazzler.
She had this like illuminated lights in her hair. So like she had the ability to, I forget what it was.
She had like some Afro sheen in her hair and it was just like.
Yeah, Pantene Pro V.
So number two would be Mortal Kombat.
Which one?
I'm going to say two.
Yeah, two was great.
Two was really good.
I like three.
That's Reptile, right? Reptile's on two. Yes.
Technically, he was in one. He was like a secret player you had to unlock.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm going to say number one for me is the Jurassic Park game where you had to sit in it with the guns. I love that one.
Nice.
So
nice, John.
And then honorable mention, I would have to say the Terminator game. That's an honorable mention.
I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger's, I know he was definitely featured on the cabinet on the side.
Yeah.
Because. Yes. Like you said, Aaron, like the cousin of the carnival traction type of thing.
Yeah.
What got me was the cabinet. Like, if you had a good looking cabinet, I'm going to at least try that game. Even if the game
give
sucks.
It a nice pat on the back.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, yeah.
Size like, up that cabinet.
Yeah.
See, he went there, John. I didn't go there, but now. You have to indulge him sometimes. But.
God, no, man, what, how crazy is that?
What's yours, Aaron? What's yours? Your top five?
Okay. I got it. I got it. I would have to say number five is The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Number four, Ninja Turtles.
You talk.
Number three, Mortal Kombat, the first one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Number two, the Michael Jackson game.
Ooh, now you cook it with peanut oil.
Was that an arcade game? I remember playing that on a console. Yeah. Oh, no
Moonwalker.
Shit.
Moonwalker,
yep,
right?
Moonwalker. Oh, yeah, we used to play it at the bowling alley near my house where I grew up.
Yes,
they had it there.
Damn.
Number one is Revolution X.
Revolution X.
Have to look
it was the shooter game. It had the cabinet. It was the Aerosmith game where you shot records.
Oh, man. I never heard of that.
Really? Oh, no. You would.
That's
you
an old game?
Recognize
it. I probably recognize it.
You would 100% recognize it because it was in every single arcade, every single, any type of arcade / pizza joint. Revolution X was there. My listeners, please chit-chat us up if you've played Revolution X. I know I did, and I hate Aerosmith. Don't know why I like that game.
Why do you hate? Never mind. I'll get to that. Well, brought to you by Midway, released in 1994, May 23rd. Yeah. It was modeled after the Terminator 2 Judgment Day game, which was also a Midway release games. So
yeah,
the oppressive New Order Nation regime and their leader Helga have abducted Aerosmith, and players use a mounted gun to control on-screen crosshairs and shoot enemies. But it was records that you shot.
That's kind of awesome.
The members of Aerosmith are hidden throughout the game's international locales and must be found in order to receive the game's true ending.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it was a... fuck you, Don. It was a critical...
I said that was awesome. What are you shooting me for? Like, I just said it was awesome.
Giving me these looks.
No, I said that sounds awesome. Just smiles.
No, I know.
But why do you hate Aerosmith?
Oh, I fucking hate Aerosmith.
Huh.
I hate all... I even, like, the hit that they had that got them to prominence. Dream all that, on. And then... Huh?
Dream on.
Dream on.
Dream yeah. on.
And then what's the other one?
Don't want to close your eyes.
Okay, yeah. I can understand that one.
Yeah. I'm missing you.
And don't miss a thing. I only know that from Armageddon.
Movie. Never seen that movie.
Hey, you didn't miss much. Armageddon was over the top. Armageddon was over the top.
Armageddon is a great fucking action movie, and it's one of Michael Bay's only good movies that he ever made.
I'll give you that.
This is not a test.
We'll return after these messages.
Young Bobby Engels has a problem. He needs to earn the respect of his peers. So he gets Sega Genesis, the ultimate action system. And then he buys Mortal Kombat, the arcade edition, and the all-new Shinobi 3, and Marvel's X-Men. Now things are pretty much okay.
I said chocolate chip.
Say it. Say it.
Dega!
Which one of you jokers goes by the name Mario?
It's me.
Could you step outside, please?
Welcome to Mario Party, where you and three friends battle it out all night long. With six adventure boards and 50 mini games, this party's just getting going. Mario Party, only on Nintendo 64.
But it's me, Mario.
Yeah, tell it to the judge.
Now, back to our story.
So that was our top five arcade cabinets. I forgot about the X-Men. Damn, I should have said X-Men. We talked about this. That was my favorite one with the double screen. Oh, man. Came out in 1992. That was the first arcade game in Mortal Kombat, the first one, where you saw lines around the fucking arcade. Like, what in the hell is going on there? And it was just people not only waiting to play those cabinets, those games, but just people just spectating, just watching. Because those games were so dope. And we didn't mention Street Fighter 2. I mean, we kind of did. But Street Fighter 2 was another game.
It really was.
Yeah.
It really was. Mm-hmm. I love the Honda Double Slap.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The Honda Double Slap, the Blanca Shock, Colonel Giles, a Yugit.
A Yugit. Yes.
A Yugit. Yeah.
They had the best fighting cadences, for sure.
It was Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom.
Who said a Yugit? Who does that?
Was it Ryu?
Mm.
Yeah, Ryu and Ken.
No, they said Hadouken. Yeah, Hadouken.
Yeah.
And they're doing the punch, and then, well, I was always Dhalsim, and I stayed in the corner, and I just stretched my arms out and hit people.
Yeah, man, I always hated people like you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can never get to you.
Well,
you
I fucking hate you, too. Hate you, too, dude.
Yeah.
I was always Ken or Ryu.
I always liked the taunt. After you got your ass beat at the end, they'd be like, see, this lesson in ass whoopings will go down in history. And you had the dude's face all swollen and shit like that.
And then they did their little dance, and then like Chun-Li did the peace sign?
The peace sign with legs bouncing back. She had huge legs. Huge legs, Chun-Li.
A lot of boys became men when they saw Chun-Li.
Actually, Ming-Na Wen, who played Chun-Li in the movie, had me hooked.
She still looks the same.
Yeah.
She still looks the same. I love her.
Yeah. For those who don't know, that's Fennec Shan from
Book of Boba and
Mandalorian.
Yep. And she's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
May. Yeah.
Yeah, Agent May. Yep.
Agent May. But man, she has an age. She looks great.
Oh, you dog.
I didn't know Balrog was a bad guy. They made him a good guy in the film.
I thought he was Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Balrog he's a bad guy?
Was a bad guy. Yeah.
Oh.
Because he was Bison's number two.
No, he wasn't his number two. Oh, yeah, no, he was his number
no,
two.
No, Sagat. Sagat was his number two.
No, Sagat was his number one.
Yeah, he was the arm dealer.
Unless Bison is his own number one. And then Saget is two. And then what Bob is Saget? It? The Balrog.
Bob Saget. Two,
and then Vega, right?
Sagat, yeah. Because Sagat would be like, what would you say?
Tiger uppercut.
Tiger yep. uppercut. Yeah. He's like, and I remember when he introduced Vega. He's like, Vega is the greatest cage fighter since Iron Fist. And Ken is like, what happened to Iron Fist? He retired and he became me. That movie has so many quotable parts.
Is there anything else we need to say about the arcade? Because, Aaron, you mentioned with the advent and the popularity of the home consoles, that did that single-handedly drive away customers from the arcade?
No. What drove them away mainly... I think it was around Pac-Man came out, 1980, 1981, arcades, wherever there was a Pac-Man game, they spent over 20 billion quarters in Pac-Man. That is a true statistic, which I think it ends up being like $500 million.
Change at that
Damn,
time
back
was,
then?
Change at that time yeah. was everything, bro. I'm telling you, like, you don't see that same value for change right now because people use cards everywhere, yep. but... Change was everything.
And for the most part, arcades have largely stayed the same as far as the currency you need to pay with, like quarters. But
yeah.
are they going to, like, I know with Dave and Buster's, they got their own cards that you have to yeah. load you your own load real money.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I didn't finish that thought. Well, with the 20 billion, but then it was a oversaturation, which was more or less the downfall of the golden era. And arcade games in general didn't really recover from that. Even if you have the Mortal Kombat and the Street Fighter 2s, the Simpsons games, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games, they weren't producing them as much as they were within those 2 to 3 years. So the most money that was made in arcades or arcade games, for at least the distributors, the factory that was putting them out, that was the best time, or at least that's what was explained in the docs and the stuff that I looked at. That's how it was explained, is that it was just oversaturation. The most money that was ever made was in those 3 years for arcade games when they first started.
Yeah.
And it just never was really the same financially. Now, mind you, they made money, but they did not make the money they did within those 3 years.
Yeah.
So they had too much supply for the demand. And
exactly.
And they didn't come out with enough titles to fit the demand. So they were just, they had too many products of the same thing.
Yep. And then as these consoles started being produced, you had Super Nintendos that basically had the same graphics as an arcade cabinet, pretty much. And then you moved on from there and the games just progressively got better and better and better. So that was kind of it.
I still prefer the ambiance, like John romanticized earlier, of going to the arcade and smelling the funky, musty kids that were there at the arcades before.
Yeah.
And then the arcades, you know, they had those lights that are like tie-dye lights and the tie-dye carpets. And it's just like, man, they must be like pumping in oxygen like a fucking...
With the black lights that would be on while you're playing.
Yeah.
I want to shout out. Huh?
Why are you smelling kids?
Well, I'm saying when you get to the actual... Because, you know, they don't clean those damn cabinets off. Not every
you guys,
time.
Like, what were you saying? Don is like, you know, go play pinball when I'm high, or this was earlier in the episode, when I'm high or drinking, or, and I'm like, dude, I don't want to play arcade games or pinball games when I'm high. You know what I want to play when I'm high? Stardew Valley. Have any of our listeners ever played Stardew Valley? All you do is just farm. You build your house up, you farm.
Ooh.
You relax.
Is that like Age of Empires or something like
no,
that?
No, not really. It's more calm, more adorable. You live in a town and, you know, you're solving mysteries too. But that's what I like to play when I'm high. Stardew Valley, everyone.
That sounds delightful. Is that an arcade game?
No, it's not. It's an Xbox game. That's why arcades don't exist anymore.
Well, yes, but like you said, the niche ones do exist for purposes.
I was just trying to give Don shit.
Because I want to shout out one. Coin Op in Sacramento, they have a basement where you can go play arcade and get bar food and just chill out. And it's in downtown Sac. I haven't been there, but I've heard rave reviews about it from people that I know, where you can just go down there and get a drink and play video games all day or arcade games.
Well, I've seen lounges where you can, it was set up kind of like an arcade, but instead of the cabinets, it was just flat screens everywhere where you play like the home console games. And like they have a setup where it's PlayStation 5, the Xbox setup, where all these people that normally would play at home, they would come there to interact with real people, you know, right then and there. And I like that. I like that better than just sitting at home and just playing by yourself.
It's not the same. I wish, you know, that's why I hope these home systems let cross-platform be available. I think you can do it with Call of Duty, But other games should be available for cross-platform. Like, I should be able to call my buddy up.
It's no money in that, though. They would never do it.
Yeah, it's money in that, of course. But I just think it would be great if I had that opportunity to sync up a time and be able to play a game on there, you know? Because I do enjoy playing, but you don't want to play on your own. You want to have that tag team. Like, Call of Duty is fun, but it's more fun when you're playing with a group of people.
Were you the kind of guys at arcades? Did you, when you didn't have enough quarters and you were just there, were you the kind of guys to spectate and watch other people play? Because I could.
No,
I would do
if
that.
I didn't have quarters, I left.
Okay, I like to watch people play, especially if they were on a roll.
Yeah.
Specifically when people were playing the Simpsons game, because I could never get past the two twins in suits.
Okay. So you were like me, Aaron. I would scout these games. Yeah, the games that I couldn't really beat, I would watch other people play and see how they beat the game. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that next time. Yeah, I would do
and
the
same.
And
you never did it. You never did it.
I just want to say, we need to shout out one other special attraction to
NBA
the
Jam?
No, well, NBA Jam, but we need to shout out. We need to shout out another special attraction, because without this piece of equipment, none of this would be possible. The coin machine. It only took dollars and $5 bills. And you remember the trick where if your dollar was wrinkled, you had to rub it on the corner to get it nice and flat.
Pain in my ass, because it's always your last dollar. It's always your last dollar. And you always overspend on what you say. Okay, I'm only going to do $2 today.
Yeah.
But you get so close to beating an opponent or something, like, fuck it. I'm going to use this wrinkly-ass dollar that I thought I was going to buy Cheetos with. Like, fuck it.
Right.
I'll eat tomorrow. Like, I have to beat the twins in The Simpsons or whatever other.
Bro, I'm
or
telling
Goro
you.
In Mortal Kombat or some
Goro,
shit.
Goro, yes, man. But I'm telling you, it was a hell of a time.
Well, all in all, as the story ends, as we say goodnight to our three heroes, Double D, Staff Man, and me, Aaron, your main hero, love of your life. I just want to say thank you for listening, y'all. Don't forget to like and subscribe. You're not subscribing. You're not liking enough. Please do that. I don't want to have to send Don to your house and beat you up and stuff like that.
Oh, I forgot. This is an audio medium. They can't see my face. I'm currently putting on a mean mug.
Yes.
Mean. Very mean.
We just want to say thank you to all our listeners out there. Tell your friends about us. Please tell your friends about us. Look at our posts. Like our posts. We appreciate you guys listening. Please like and subscribe. Go on the Twitter, the YouTube. Like I said, I'm not shaving this until we get 500 subscribers. I don't want to have to keep growing this for over a year. Please just go on the YouTube. Go on the YouTube. We have, 300 and some odd people on the Instagram. We have, 2,000 on the Twitter. Go to the YouTube and please subscribe. For the love of God, my face is itching every fucking day, and I keep getting food caught in it. I want to shave, but I promise you I wouldn't. So that is After School Special Podcast. Aaron signing off. Double D signing off. Sign off. Bye. It's an audio medium.
Oh, bye.
Hey, everyone. It's Aaron from After School Special Podcast. Like what you hear so far? But don't forget to subscribe and download the show on whatever platform you get your podcast. And just a friendly reminder, we have new episodes out every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Pac-Man comes along. Waka, 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 waka. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow. No, I'm not going to do that.